Right, so this is our first class of four on Zazen. Why not start with the basics at the beginning of the year? And then, if you're curious about our Tuesday study on the website, it shows you there's going to be four classes on this, and then there's going to be 11 classes. Covering my 10 fields of Zen practice, starting with the introduction. So, this we're focusing on a text. I mean, if you can call it that, it's called Polishing a Tile. It's by Isho Fujita, who is a Japanese Zen priest, traditionally trained. It's not published as a book. So there's a PDF available. It's basically just a compilation of essays that he wrote for one of the Sotoshu, the Japanese Soto school newsletters. And so I've looked into like how much it would cost. This I printed this out, and I like sewed the binding myself because I wanted it so much. Oh, Tyler, you got yours. Oh, can you want to tell me how much you.
It was like $25 to get it printed and bound at our little
Okay,
coffee
so
shop.
at the Beaverton Library, you can print it and it might be like $20. You want to pay to print it there, and then they have a spiral binder that you can just use in the
Really?
library for free. Yeah, so
52?
well, I haven't gone in and used the spiral binder yet, but I did print it. I plan on doing it so I can share my experience, but it
Okay.
is there. Yeah,
All right, so
yes.
it sounds like there's some possibilities for getting your hands on it. Yeah, it's very sweet though, but the PDF is available and you can use it without, feeling like you're stealing anything because the book was never published. So I don't know how many of you have had a chance to read it. It is, like the assignment for tonight was quite short. It's very, I don't know, it's very pithy. There's plenty of us to. Any comments or questions or reactions or anything anybody wants to just bring up, share a favorite passage or anything like that? All right. Yeah, you always have that chance, so keep it in mind. So looking around, I think everybody's pretty familiar with Zazen. So I wanted to do a little exercise where those in the Zendo have a little sheet of paper and a pen. Those of you in the cloud, who is host this evening?
Thanks, Joe.
Anjo, are you host? Okay. So, well, I don't know. If you want to, because in the Zendo, I'm going to have people do this, and it's going to be more or less anonymous. It's tougher in the cloud, right? But if you want to, you could. So, never mind about the host. If you want to chat me directly, like BWZ Doan. Chat me directly. So I will see your answer, but nobody else will see your answer. Or if you don't care, you could just chat everybody. So I have a question, two questions for you. So when you consider Zazen, this central practice of our tradition, of our lineage, on a scale of 1 to 10. Do you know how to do Zazen? So one meaning I am clueless, and 10 is think I got it. And then anywhere in between.
So ten
so
is I think I got.
10 is 10 is you got it.
Yes, I think I.
I
Okay.
think I got it, and that's why I'm like, be honest, like your gut feeling, right? even though you might realize that like, you're not supposed to say that you have it, right? You know what I mean? You're like, don't like censor yourself and second guess yourself because, you know, like, well, you're never supposed to say, of course, I don't know what I'm doing. No, you've got sense. And then I will, let's see, how do I make the chat go on the side again? All right. I will add up what.
That's okay.
Okay, so those of you in the cloud can submit your answers to me. I'm not seeing any answers so far. Is that, am I just not looking in the right place?
When I clicked on the chat, there's like a second area. You can click on, there's main chat or the BWZ Dawn.
Oh,
you see that?
Huh. This is new Zoom stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because we actually saw it flash.
Huh.
Well, someone said their answer.
Yeah, someone answered and we saw it.
Okay. Yeah, everything is different. Huh. Okay, so I only see one answer.
There's two questions, right?
Yes, there's two questions. Every time before when I say chat, the chat goes into a window that's next to the people. Now it is its own thing.
Yeah, it's so you could probably resize the. Yeah.
Oh dear.
BWZ.
Okay, are you guys all waiting for my second question? Is that this field?
Are we Doan? Are you Doan or are you Zendo? I can't remember.
BWZ Doan.
Okay. Thank you.
And then the second question, if you're waiting for the second question, is okay, given. You know, however much you feel like you know how to do Zazen, what percentage of the time do you feel like you're actually doing it? I mean, you can do, you know, you got 100 different percentages there, I guess, to choose from. So,
oh, is it 2% of the
percentage? Emily.
Is this question like what percent of the time that we're trying to practice Zazen are we actually doing it, or like what percentage of our whole life?
When you're doing Zazen,
okay,
what thank percentage you. Of the time do you feel like based on, you know, how well you think you know what you're supposed to be doing, what percentage of the time you're actually doing it?
So like each session.
Yeah, like. Or overall in your, you know, all considering all your Zazen in general.
How much of my bad Zazen am I actually doing?
Yeah.
Yes. So like if I'm saying, you know, if I feel like I'm a 5, then, but I kind of have, you know, based as much as I know, like it's kind of good Zazen. What percentage of the time do I feel like I'm on it? My Zazen hits the mark. Okay, so those in the Zendo can pass their things in.
You want our names on it then?
No names.
No names. Okay. I'm just tallying this up for everybody to just. Okay. So here's the cloud ones. So the main message of this first section by Fujita, and I love Isho Fujita's take on Zazen, because if you haven't, another one. Here's another two. Our zazen is a koan. A koan is as an obstacle which wrestling with it will allow you at some point to resolve something and to gain insight and to transform. So the obstacle is we're not supposed to be doing anything. And yet what are we? What is it about? Right? So Shuzen, Fujita points out, this is a word which appears in a number of places in Dogen, including Fukan Zazengi, which we regularly recite. And in Fukan Zazengi, Instructions for Zazen, Dogen says, Zazen is not meditation practice. So meditation practice, that's a translation of Shuzen. So Zazen is seated, you know, meditation. And Shu is like training. So this is what Fujita says about that. So he talks about his own like kind of struggle with Zazen and trying to figure out what it actually is. Says, another helpful hint for me in clarifying the difference between Zazen and Shuzen is Uchiyama Roshi's definition of Zazen. That's one of his, in his lineage of teachers. He's an Antaiji guy. He says, it's an effort to continuously aim at a correct sitting posture with flesh and bones and totally leave everything to that. In his definition, there is no Shuzen element, which assumes the central role of mind in Shuzen practice. So Shuzen, so he talks about having sat Zazen for many years, and then he ended up in this area where there was just a lot of Buddhism going on. So he goes to sit different types of meditation, Buddhist meditation, including Vipassana, and he did a Goenka retreat, and he talks about how like physically it wasn't hard for him because he'd sat many long retreats. But it was the first time I had to apply a certain meditation technique for that long. There were practices such as exclusively focusing on the sensations around the nostrils or keep scanning the whole body for a long time or labeling whatever is happening in mind and body. Metaphorically speaking, I used mental muscles a lot, which I seldom use in Zazen. And I felt mental muscular pain from overusing them. So now he's talking about the way that he thinks about Zazen as not Shuzen. In opposition to Shuzen, the somatic element of Zazen is strongly emphasized. If we can understand Bodhidharma's wall gazing as an effort to keep sitting with body mind being like a wall, whatever happens, let it flow as it is, without clinging to or fighting against it. This is very similar to Uchiyama Roshi's definition of Zazen. In this kind of Zazen, to do Zazen means to just sit solely aiming at a correct posture. There is no other need to reach a certain state of mind as a goal or to attain a special experience. Therefore, we are freed from anxiety and frustration, which comes from seeking for a special state of mind and experience, which we have not yet attained, and to able to peacefully rest in the here and now as it is, nothing special. There can be no competition or ranking based on what is achieved because there is no fixed attainment target. All those human struggles are totally suspended in Zazen. This is why Zazen is called the Dharma Gate of Joyful Ease.
This is the way of Zazen. In that sense, it is quite different from Shuzen. This is easy to say, but very difficult to do. Because we are usually driven by a desire to achieve something which does not exist here and now. When we hear that Zazen is about no achievement, we immediately ask, if Zazen is that, how can I do it? But this is a question exactly stemming from the framework based on means and end, which is always behind the Shuzen approach. We should take a radically different approach to Zazen so that we can avoid changing Zazen into Shuzen, consciously or unconsciously. So, what are we trying to do or not do? What are we actually allowing to happen on the Zazen seat? It is so easy to, you know, give basic instruction, and almost like the less instruction you give, the better. I just gave Velka the instructions tonight. Sit, are you comfortable? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, just set aside time and space for being intimate for life just as it is. And yet we find ourselves, you know, drawn away from that. Some kind of effort is required. But like the, I don't think it was the Kazon thing that we read this week. Maybe it's next week. Anyway, he talks about how like an effort is required, but it's not the usual kind of effort. That's really the story of it. And this, every challenge that we face in Zazen, it is, we think of it as being a challenge we face in, you know, our meditation practice. But in actuality, it's the challenge we face in being fully human. It just, we're sitting and paying attention to that. So it seems like it's happening in Zazen. But in reality, it's about our whole being. So do we have results?
So the total scale of 1 to 10 is 6.5.
Wow, that's pretty good.
The percentage of time spent in Zazen is 36.3%.
It's even bad than the first one. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's so it's about a third of the time. That's I don't know that I say a third of the time. You know, like I feel like my and this is a wonderful thing, right? This is not this is not about inadequacy. I feel like I'm continuing to learn what Zazen is, right? When I go to a session and then I'm like, oh, that's what just sitting is. I mean, it almost like things keep falling away and you realize, oh, look what I was doing. I don't have to do that. Just sitting. So it's, in a way, it's a, you know, lifelong journey. Natalie.
Should I ask my question in here?
Come up so then people can see you. I know it's a little bit of pain, but.
Just the question, because it's, as we were talking about Zazen being like a koan. I mean, is there really a wrong way to do it, though, is the thing. I mean, I still put myself with plenty of room to grow. But if we're saying we're just sitting and our mind's doing what it's doing, is there truly a way, though, to be doing it wrong if we're showing up and sitting? That's the thing. What would be, you know, because we're not supposed to judge ourselves. And if we're there, but if we do judge, you can suspend judgment of your judgment and it's okay. So is it, as long as you're there, are you really doing it wrong?
I'm still asking myself that question.
So just something to think about. Though I did say I have plenty of room to figure it out still, so I'm not there. But just something to think about. Yeah.
I think we've all had that, like,
yeah.
We can get into the basically saying, yes, there is, like, okay. You know, when I'm sitting there planting my garden and then I realize it, like, this part of me is like, that ain't it, right? And yet then at a deeper level, it's kind of like, but then if we're dividing up into, what are you trying to do? Yeah,
why would that not be it, though, if that's what your brain wants to have pass through, right?
And yet the problem here is like, where is the point of choice, right? I hesitate even to say, like, well, what degree of control do we have over our minds? Because that's to, you know, engaging in a fallacy in a way. But, like, there is a part of us that has to show up and make an effort and be engaged. So can that part not be engaged sometimes? In which case, maybe that's not Zazen.
Just a thought that was entering my head. What's good Zazen and what's bad Zazen?
Jen.
Well, so I was going to just suggest that it's maybe a process. Like, when I first sit down, sometimes there's a lot of things going through my mind, and I think of Zazen as the time to let that mind rest. But sometimes it just can't rest until it's gone through all the things. And then all of a sudden it just, like, says okay, and then I feel like, oh, now I'm doing Zazen. But it could be, like, you know, halfway through or more than that. And I mean, I hate saying all this because, you know, I'm also thinking, oh, I'm probably wrong. But that's how it usually works for me. So when I thought about my percentage, I was like, well, how much time does it generally take before I feel that resting and that joyful ease part, but I don't know if I'm supposed to count the whole thing. Cause I know I don't think there's anything wrong with the first half. So.
And you're making me think of a kind of an analogy where we might say, like, you know, what percentage of the time, you know, are you, I don't know, properly honoring your marriage.
Okay, that's
right. Because I mean, because sometimes, yeah, like,
why am I sitting here? Kind of,
I mean, because we think, like, well, when would that be? That would be when, you know, we're being patient and appreciative. You know, we can think of the times when, like, okay, we're kind of consciously, and yet, if you're in a marriage, like, kind of, it's kind of the whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just or still pain. Being in it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's the same. It's the same deal. Like, I, you know, what percentage do you know what it means to be a good parent? And, you know, 1 to 10, and, like, how much of the time are you being a good parent? And yet, in a way, as long as you
as long as you're technically a parent, you're doing it, right?
As long as you're trying, yeah. Okay, thank you.
That. Yoli. And in the cloud, you can raise your hand too.
So I may be thinking about this all the wrong way, because I am always just so proud of myself when I sit, because I have so much ADHD that I just think that I'm just doing it right most of the time. So I don't even know. I'm so judgy when it comes to me, and I'm so not judgy when I sit Zazen, because I am just like, wow, I did this, you know? So it's like such a miracle to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's even right or wrong to think that way. I just find no issues involving it other than like, wow, I did this. And because it's not me, it's usually so hard for me.
Well, and I, like I just told Volka today, like, you know, I think the most transformative part of the practice is just making the space to be quiet and sit down, right? That kind of, even if you sat there the whole time, just like, meh. I mean, you have created space in your life and put everything aside to do this. So in a sense, it's like, Emily.
I think it does seem a bit like there's some sort of paradox with Zazen, or at least the way that Isho Fujita describes it, because he talks about how, in contrast to Shuzen, you're not supposed to apply some sort of like mental control technique. And he describes all these other techniques that aren't Zazen, like body scanning or focusing on certain sensations or like breath in your nostrils. And that's not what Zazen is, according to him. But at least in my experience, if I am not on some level like trying to just sit, then it's like some part of my consciousness is like a river or like a whirlpool or something. And if I'm not careful, then I'll just get like sucked in to thoughts. And to me, that doesn't completely seem like Zazen, because it's kind of easy to at least practice dismissing those thoughts and being like, oh, I got sucked into a thought right there, and then I kind of like let it go. And to me, that seems more like Zazen, but maybe not, because that is some sort of mental technique. So yeah, I don't know. It seems like on some level there's a paradox where like you're doing something, but you're supposed to be doing nothing, but we can't do both. So which one is it?
Yes. What did he talk about? He talked about naturalness. Something about, oh yeah, was like, he was talking about how, like, you know, the outer muscles of the body and the inner muscles, and the inner, which I can have the core muscles, which I have learned like need to be what is holding us upright in Zazen, or else you end up in a lot of pain. That is like we're learning to use the inner muscles that can hold us upright, but the outer muscles are kind of the willful muscles. So we're usually carrying tension in them, and that's how we're doing things, right? We're doing our Zazen with our outer muscles instead of kind of allowing the body to sit naturally. And he has in another week we're going to be, or in a subsequent class we're going to be talking about maybe it's next week. Like we should be sitting like a baby, sitting really naturally like a baby, when babies can just sit cross-legged upright, like no problem. But he says, as Dogen Zenji said, stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. So he's saying like, you're trying to learn how to use inner muscle mind as opposed to outer muscle mind, kind of relax the outer muscle mind, which is, he says, it's the excessive activity. We say we are calming down an excessive activity of outer muscle mind and activating and manifesting the function of inner muscle mind, which has been suppressed. Therefore, as Dogen Zenji said, stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. We should avoid bringing the side job of various meditation techniques like the four foundations of mindfulness, da, 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 into Zazen. When we engage in those techniques, our mind inevitably becomes active and is dominated by outer muscle mind. In Zazen, the mind is dominated by inner muscle mind. And I mean, another way that I tend to think about it, I mean, it's just a way to frame it, right? It's not the reality of it, but it's like trying to let go of all duality. So we don't have a sense of ourselves trying to do anything with our mind, but like coming home, relaxing, coming home. And really when we really do that, maybe not always, maybe we're agitated or, you know, something's going on, but most of the time we just want to let that shit go. Right? It's not a matter. So this is like returning to this like natural state as opposed to making something happen. And yet we have to be willing to like return to this natural state. And I think of it also as like, I think elsewhere in this, in his essays, Fujita talks about like relaxation. And when you realize it, like, I don't know if anybody's like, you know, come over to give you a back rub and they're like, oh, you're really tense. And you're like, you can't just relax that. It's actually, it takes some effort, some work, some practice to relax the tension that you are holding. So it does take a weird kind of effort. All right. Was Alan next, or did somebody just disappear from the...
Tyler did.
I dropped my hand. It's so, I think we kind of covered a lot of the stuff I was sort of... I guess I was looking at how he says about how Shuzen is like, it's like a step, but there's like a step-by-step meditation process. And like in Zazen, there's no like steps, right? Like, so like, even there's no like, first do this, then do this, then do this. And then even the bits about like posture, he kind of tells the story about the Buddha when he first went under the Bodhi tree after going through all the different types of like asceticism or whatever. And he was doing something completely different and new, like didn't have any instructions to go on, was just like feeling through this thing. And that's kind of like, I don't know if you're saying that was like the actual, like what Zazen is, with the sort of like, just going by feel. But then he says, you know, when we talk about our posture at the end, it says the shape of the back should not be a result, should be a result, not a cause. So how do we make our back naturally straight? I thought that was really interesting, right? Like when they're saying straighten your back, it's not necessarily instruction to do it, but it should be a result of doing Zazen, which someone with horrible posture is interesting and intriguing.
Alan.
I think you partially answered my question, but my question is basically, if there's no expectation or no goal for Zazen, so what's the purpose of doing it? What are we trying to accomplish? That's already a goal when I say try to accomplish.
Yeah.
But you said something like a natural order. Isn't that the goal we're trying to accomplish, to become more like in a natural order?
Yeah, I mean, that is another paradox koan in our practice. I mean, here we are, we're talking about, we're not just Zen people, right? We're also Buddhists. And like, we have this larger practice, which is about relieving suffering and about, you know, becoming more compassionate and, you know, awakening to our Buddha nature and all of this stuff. And then our central practice is like uselessness. Our central practice is like not trying to figure any of that out, not trying to make any of that happen. It's just
But I think that's beautiful, right? It's like the, so it you know, we do zazen. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't helpful, if it wasn't beneficial. And yet the practice itself is uselessness. The practice itself is letting go of all of that effort, because I guess we really emphasize, like, you already have what you need, but we don't realize it. We're getting in our own way and we don't realize it. So zazen is like sitting to try to allow our Buddhahood to manifest.
Is it like a similar question where what's the meaning of life, and we're basically saying there's no meaning in life. All right, never mind. You don't have the answer, but what bothers me.
Well, I mean, I think there's lots of meaning. I mean, that's what I feel is, that's what Buddhism and Zen have given me, amongst many things, but is a sense of meaning. A meaning, but not a meaning that is dependent on anything, on some external measure of this is wonderful or good or something like that. But it's like just life, just being itself ends up infused with meaning. Erica. Ruth Ann.
Thank you. This is good, you know, the body-mind connection. I don't think we easily relax. I mean, just in our society, I've done other body work in terms of meditation. It's not like we can suddenly flip a switch. And I think it's okay when I recognize, okay, there's traffic noise, bird song, it's not interrupting my sitting, and yet whatever technique I use, if pain shows up, I have the nanosecond thought of, thank goodness I'm not in a shishim, I'd be disturbing people because I'm not sitting properly. And then instantly I think, okay, there's a Zen master with a mallet, a whisk, a fist, you know, and I can tell when my hands, tips of my thumbs are slacking. So I love the challenge. I mean, I'm not reprimanding my body. It's the whole deal to be in the body, to let it do this. So thank you for this talk.
Thank you.
I think Ruth Ann said it better. But I think for me, I feel like, and I love your questions, Alan, I feel like the point of it is just to take a break, because like we're always running around. Mm-hmm. We always have to listen to people. We always have to do stuff. And like, this is like our one opportunity to not have to do that. And to me, that is so powerful and so energizing and so wonderful. So to me, that's the point of zazen. I don't expect anything from it. I just take a break. And then like what Domio was saying about that, it's kind of like coming home, you know? And I feel like that's sort of the point, is to like come home before, and you know, like most people don't get to do that until like they're dead and they go home to like wherever it is they came from, or you know, it maybe, I don't know, but that's kind of how I feel. And this is like our opportunity to do that before, like to just do it over and over again, which is like such a huge gift to have.
Yeah, and the, you know, another way that I have phrased for myself the practice of mindfulness, which is trying to be, you know, aware off the meditation seat, is because my inclination, the way that mindfulness is generally taught, is essentially like shuzen, right? It's an effort, it's a thing that you do. And then that kind of practice never works for me, because I think because my inner doer is so just like, let me at that. And like, and then I'm divided against myself, right? So if we think of mindfulness as being similarly, like kind of, can we come home to ourselves in a moment? So I've described that to myself sometimes, undivided. So when I'm sitting and like, you know, planting my garden instead of a lot, you know, giving myself a break, if I can, you know, refrain from that, you know, judgment and that reaction, like, oh no, I gotta start concentrating again, whatever, but like, I'm just checking in with myself. So do I want to keep doing that? No, I actually, well, sometimes I do, but you know, I mean, sometimes we do. I think, you know, like when we get up and we're like, that wasn't such a great zazen period. I mean, in a sense, it's maybe we were just not really into it, not really willing. We just kind of wanted to think about what was coming up or mull over something. But giving ourselves to that process fully means like, you know, settling into that. I don't know. It's still place, which is naturally us. There is an, that is our natural state, not in a kind of dead or fixed way, right? Maybe only momentarily still, or maybe it's only in retreat that we might be still for quite a while, or out in nature or something like that. There might be kind of conditional times when that stillness is more pronounced and obvious, but it's like it's there all the time within us.
Awesome. Cool. Ever since I read that new book, the Shunryu Suzuki book, Becoming Yourself, he says like zazen is becoming yourself, which mm-hmm. is this, I think, is the same thing as coming home. Mm-hmm. And I read that book and then I went on retreat. And when my mind settled and I was just noticing things that were coming up, oh, my zazen wasn't like super, super great. My mind was really busy, but I was like, oh, I was thinking about all these art projects. And I was like, ooh, I'm an artist. Neat. And it would kind of settle away. And then something else would come up and be like, oh, cool. I like projects. I'm a creator. That's cool. And then I would let it settle. But then it was kind of just like, it was kind of like labeling, but it was just, I was like, I was just noticing. I don't know. Maybe I feel like now what I'm saying is not that profound, but it was for me at retreat. And it kind of allowed me to not do the judgment thing. I guess I was judging it as good, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that, the refusing to divide is, you know, I mean, I think you probably heard me, like it was a session number of years ago where I just suddenly realized like I have an inner beaver.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, well, I guess I might as well just love that, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
And acceptance. Kelly.
Hi, thank you. I wasn't gonna say anything, but I just have to respond to the last speaker that's what I started to do recently. So it was helpful for me to hear that you do it. So that was super helpful. It's for me, it's been a way to not be judgmental. So when now when I'm noticing things there, I wasn't like consciously saying, oh, you're not doing it, get back on track. I wasn't being that scolding because I've been practicing for quite a while, but I knew there was still a little residue. When I would come back, I was marking it like, and you had to come back. You had to do that. And so now I've been saying instead, oh, you care about people. Like I'm thinking about someone. Oh, you care about people. And it helped me move on without that feeling of judgment. So I'm glad you said it.
You remind me of an exercise that I had a practice intensive group do, and people had some resistance to it, but it was very interesting, and I did it as well. So I had people kind of, I did like pay attention to where your mind goes in your zazen, like, and you know, kind of come up these little categories, right? I'm thinking about my family, I'm thinking about the Zen Center, and we got to do this for the retreat, and we should do this, you know, like taking care of the Zen Center, and this is my garden, and you know, there's you know, I play accordion, so I'm thinking about that, or I'm thinking about like injustice in the world and what we should do about injustice, you know, like just noticing, you know, and there's really for all of us, there's maybe 6 to 8 main themes. And then I had people find some little symbol, some little tangible thing that represented that category of stuff. So I ended up with a little accordion pin and like, you know, a little flower and a little, you know, so there was, and Bright Ways End, I symbolize it, you know, like a sunrise or a sunset. So I got a little sun. And then, so we, in the way we're kind of not doing, you know, we inserted this into our zazen, but when we noticed that our mind had gone to a certain place, then we had a nice little box and we picked up our little talisman. And then we just held it, right? Because this is part of our life and part of something that we really care about. And so I almost felt like I would take it, and what's usually like that, just a little bit of a subtle like, oh, and just taking it, almost like you energetically, you like bring it in. And that was a very sweet, instructive thing that might want to experiment with. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. One more.
It's been really cool to hear all of these because I put 2% and 2%. and I feel like maybe I would make those a little bit better now, but I don't know. I just kind of wanted to share this funny thing that happened today. I felt like my zazen was really good today. And I feel like it kind of goes along with what some folks are saying. So I did this thing where I've been kind of focusing on non-duality lately. And I was like, how can I like meld my brain and my body? Cause I'm so focused up here, or sometimes I'm so focused on like the pain in my body. So I'm like, how do I kind of meld them? And so I kind of kickstarted it, right? With my brain. I would say like, meat brain. And I'd like meat brain. Like, so like my meat and my brain, I just kind of kept saying that until suddenly they like would meld, and they like, everything would just be like thrumming together and they'd be one, and I could feel them be one. And if I had a thought, it was like in my body. Oh, and if I had a body experience, it was like also in my brain. And I kind of kept doing that throughout. And if they separated, I'd say meat brain again. Bring it back. And I don't know, maybe that's not the right way to do it, but it felt incredible when I could feel them like be one thing. I just wanted to share that.
I should say, like, because there's always this question of like, okay, well, if you employ something, if you doing something like that, well, is that a technique then? But and basically the answer is yes, we can turn that into a technique. But I think almost all of us have this experience of like, there's something we can, some phrase or word or image or aspiration or something that we can call to mind, which kind of facilitates the coming home. You know, it doesn't bring in an agenda.
Yeah.
It just kind of reminds us of what we're doing, mm-hmm. You know, be here now, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Or just what, or who sits here, or, you know, something like that. But thank you for reminding me.
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you all. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Krishna Parvati.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.